Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia Niro plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. It was April the 15th last on Liveline. It was following a statement by SIPTU and the Irish Nurses and Midwives Association that they had reached a historic agreement with the government to supply staff from the public sector into private nursing homes. And the unions also said that it was the public sector helping out the private sector once again. And then comments were made afterwards by one of the union reps that in private nursing homes the staff were generally undertrained, underqualified and underpaid. Now, we discovered later on that day, this is last April, when nursing homes, especially private nursing homes, were in difficulties, we discovered later on that day this was a totally voluntary process, that no member of HSE staff could be asked or indeed forced to go in and help a nursing home. If someone from the HSE staff did apply to go, they must have had a second person with them to go in. In other words, if you were willing to volunteer, maybe because of your relative in a private nursing home, to go in and help, you had to find someone else to volunteer with you. And as we discovered subsequently, the numbers from the HSE, maybe it's changed now, that went into private nursing homes was extraordinarily small. Dr. Martin Daly raised serious issues back in October about the nursing home staffing in Nightingale nursing home in Ahaskra in Galway, and the crisis there because so many staff have come down with COVID and they were looking for help. Martin, this revelation this morning that in January alone, 369 residents of nursing homes had died from COVID. These are truly shocking figures.
They're shocking and they're tragic. And as inured as we have become to the death rate of this COVID pandemic, we have to remember that behind every one of those figures is a human being who was enjoying their life, who was had neighbours, friends, family, who has probably had to be isolated for the last 9 months with reduced social contact with their families and their friends. So I think it's tragic, and it reflects the prevalence of this very infectious virus in our community. And, you know, as the number of cases go up in the community, the number of cases in nursing homes will proportionally go up, because this virus, once it gets its way into those care facilities, these people are especially vulnerable, and it's in a congregated area. And with the best will in the world, once it gets in, there will be a death toll.
Does it fit in? Well, the narrative last April from the public service unions was that the private nursing homes especially were understaffed, underqualified, undertrained. Does that narrative still hold? And the argument was this historic agreement meant that public sector staff could be redeployed. As we know, there was very, very few, if any, a very small number redeployed. Does that narrative still hold, that the public sector will help out the private sector?
Well, firstly, the public health sector should be helping out the private sector in this regard, because, I mean, these are citizens of the state, and the state, the HSE and the Department of Health have responsibility for all the citizens of this country and to ensure that they have accessible and timely health care. And that includes nursing home patients who are in private facilities in this country, and the state is underwriting the care of those patients, as is their responsibility, and that responsibility doesn't just stop at paying a subvention to nursing homes to look after people. The state abandoned nursing home care to a large degree in the 1980s, and it contracted this care out to the private sector. Now, I'm not going to sit here and be critical of the private nursing homes, because they provide a tremendous service, and in ordinary times they provide a very appropriate service to patients from all sorts of medical needs, people who are actually ambulant and walking around but need the protection of a nursing home and the supervision of a nursing home, to people who have highly complex needs and are cared for in these nursing homes.
But is there, do you think there was a predisposition, because it came up in the Dáil and these words were said in the Dáil, there was a predisposition to regard private nursing homes, which, as you say, were almost subcontracted out by the state 2 decades ago, to run a service which was not being provided by the state, that the narrative in the Dáil was that these were private nursing homes making massive profits and they should look after them. That was from a number of TDs at a committee, that these nursing homes were private nursing homes, they were only in it for profit, so let them fend for themselves.
Well, no, I'm going to speak for the residents of the nursing homes rather than the private sector or the public sector.
Okay.
And I'm going to make this observation. The politicians abandoned that care 2 decades ago. They contracted that care out to the private sector. They can't simply walk away from this problem now that we have a pandemic. We also need to remember that this is an unprecedented event in most of our lifetimes, and hopefully it won't happen again in my lifetime, this pandemic. So it is an unprecedented challenge to not just the nursing home sector, but to our whole health service, including our hospitals and our community care services. So I think that this blame game or this suggestion that the subvention fees that are paid to private nursing homes, that they would encompass a pandemic, an unprecedented situation, is fallacious. And, you know, standing and blaming people who are trying to do their best in the most difficult of circumstances is not the way forward. We need to problem solve. Now, at the moment, there is a horrendous toll in the nursing homes. I have a sister who's a GP in County Roscommon. In their nursing home, 12 people have died. You know, once this virus gets into a nursing home, it spreads and it kills. And what those people, unfortunately, the die is cast once the virus gets in the nursing home. What people in those nursing homes, the care workers and the nursing staff, need support and they need logistical supplies.
Well, I remember back in April we had a phone call that day when this same statement was issued by the two unions about this historic agreement, which proved to be no such thing because it was voluntary. We had phone calls. I'm trying to remember. I think it was nursing homes in Donegal, among other places, saying that the HSE weren't helping them. In fact, and this is the way of the world, but in fact, staff were being poached or leaving to take up jobs, which are obviously, and again, this is part of the argument, were obviously better paid. So they were suffering. On October 22nd, which is the day you raised the issue nationally of the Nightingale Nursing Home and the awful position they found themselves in, Patricia McGowan, the Director of Nursing, spoke to us on Liveline.
At the moment, we have 24 residents in house. One gentleman died yesterday.
Yeah.
We have 2 transferred to hospital today, and that's left us with the remainder.
And of those 24, how many have tested positive for COVID, Patricia?
We have 2 negative residents, that's all.
So 22 out of 24 left. And how many staff are there at the moment?
We're currently down to the bare bones, Joe, to be honest with you. We have a nurse and a carer on duty at the moment. They're working 13-hour shifts. The remainder of the staff have tested positive. I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know how the girls down there are coping. They have to be just running on adrenaline at this stage because they have nothing else. They haven't even time to go outside and take a breath of air.
So at the minute, in the nursing home, there's one nurse and one carer. And where are they on their shift? Are they near the end of their shift?
It won't be finished till 9 o'clock tonight, Joe.
And what time did they start at, Patricia?
8 o'clock this morning.
And what was, during the night, how many staff were on?
We got help from the HSE for the night.
Okay.
They did send us a nurse during the night, but they promised us carers for this morning and they never materialised. And
okay,
you know, we didn't even get a phone call to say that they weren't coming. That, you know, we were. I'm devastated. I can't put it into words how helpless we all feel. And we felt that we were going to get help, and it just hasn't transpired. And you know, our residents are down there and we're trying to keep them alive. I'm sorry, I don't usually cry.
No, you're okay.
We're trying to keep them alive and well, and we really feel abandoned. That's the truth.
Let me go to Thomas Gray. Thomas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Your mother died on the day I'm talking about, back in April, unfortunately.
Yep.
What do you think of these shocking figures that have emerged today?
Quite honestly, I'm shocked, Joe. I was still talking about this back in April when all these numbers were revealed. And I said, okay, they weren't prepared. But how many months do we have to prepare to save lives? Months. And we're still talking about it. And I'm enraged, Joe. I'm totally shocked and enraged. And to listen to them, every one of them families, like me, have kids and families, are listening to this every day of people dying in nursing homes. Like, we judge a country and we judge people how we treat our own. That's what my mother used to say years ago. And I firmly believe in it, that we don't care. They've given up. They're indisposable. That's my feeling on it. And my mother was in a nursing home, which wasn't cheap, Joe. It cost thousands. Mm-hmm. And I gave her into the care of the state and that nursing home to take care of her. And look what happened. She caught COVID-19 and died. Why are we still talking about it? Why does it take me to listen to the news of a conference in the Dáil and we should have an investigation? The people that run these nursing homes, I understand, are under pressure and stress. Mm. Pay the staff the right money and you'll get the best. It's just a money game and a statistic. And my own brother was talking to me the other day about it, and he said, do you not notice that the amount of people are dying, which I follow the statistics every day, the numbers are not changing in the hospitals. It's people must be in nursing homes and they're keeping a lid on it. Keep it quiet. Because they know people are enraged, like me now. And I'm not an angry person. I'm gentle folk. It's horrible to think all them families, Joe.
But it is such, as Dr. Martin Daly pointed out, such a virulent illness, but the virus that spreads so quickly and so easily, especially in confined settings and especially in vulnerable populations. But the government, they obviously, I don't know if they officially announced it, but it kind of emerged in the last 2 weeks. And we phone called here from Dublin Fire Brigade families saying we were due, they're frontline, if ever there was frontline, we were due to get the vaccine 2 weeks ago. And we haven't got it. Now, is the reason they haven't got it because the government diverted? They knew these numbers were catastrophic in nursing homes. So they diverted the limited, very limited supply of vaccines the EU have managed to secure and our proportion of them. They diverted that to nursing homes, which showed that the government did appreciate how awful things were, Thomas. In fairness.
I don't know that answer, Joe, and I wouldn't question that. To me, they were said that they were going to prioritise the people in the hospital, which is true. But these people are not properly trained and they hadn't got the PPE. It took your man, Tadhg, the chairman of the Irish Nurse, Tadhg Daly, to go on the radio and say that they don't have PPE equipment and they hadn't got the proper training. And they haven't.
Okay, stay with us, 51551, joe at rt.ie. Patricia McGowan, you heard there on the clip back in October, on October 22nd, Director of Nursing in the Nightingale Home in Ahaskra. Patricia, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Did you get a shock when you heard those figures from January for nursing homes? 359 people.
Yes, it is a shock. It is a shock, and we lived through it. And my heart goes out to that gentleman who lost his mother.
Thomas,
This is not something that's unique to nursing homes. It's a pandemic. It's across the entire globe. And I think the focus on nursing homes is probably misplaced.
Did you get that day when you went public and Martin went public as well, did you get help fairly quickly from the HSE?
We got some help from the HSE. The majority of the staff that were supplied to us were agency staff.
Okay.
We got agency help. We did get some HSE, but they were lower in numbers than the agency.
But you did, the HSE did ensure that people went in to help you in the nursing home.
Yes, okay. Yes, they did. Yes.
And what's it been like generally since, Patricia?
It's been okay since. I mean, our outbreak was declared over at the end of November and we've been COVID-free since. All of our own staff are back and well. Our residents are well. We received the first dose of our vaccine on the 15th of January and we're earmarked for the 5th of this month for our second dose.
And are you accepting admissions, Patricia?
We are. We're accepting admissions. If anyone comes to us from hospital, for example, they have to have been tested and be COVID negative. If they come from the community, they have to have the same, essentially, that their GP arranges a COVID test and they're negative. And then those new residents can be added to our vaccination list and receive the vaccination also.
Okay. Did you get your vaccination as planned?
Well, as far as we're aware, we were scheduled for the 15th of January and we got it on the 15th of January.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
And it looks like nursing homes were prioritised in the last period anyway.
Yes, I guess so. I mean, I know that the vaccines came in late December to the country and kind of 2 weeks later they started vaccinations here with us. I'm sure that the Christmas period probably had something to do with the fact that they weren't rolled out immediately, with the first ones being done on the 7th of January. But I suppose the way I'm looking at it, Joe, mm-hmm. is that we're all just learning as we go with this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a pandemic. None of us have ever faced this before. And as Martin said, please God, none of us ever face it again.
Yeah.
I think there's too much focus on blame. Okay. I think there's a blame culture.
Well, there's calls now for a public inquiry. Do you think that would help into nursing homes and what happened?
I think it would be good to know where things went wrong, because that's how we learn how to do it better. So if in a public inquiry is a way to expose what went wrong and where, then absolutely.
Mm. And if there's no visits allowed, and as far as I know, window visits seem to have been stopped in a lot of nursing homes. How is the virus getting in?
It's like Martin said, you know, it's on the rise in the community. We all live in the community, and with the best will in the world, you don't know where this virus is. It's invisible, mm-hmm. it's tasteless, it's scentless. There's no way of detecting where it is in advance of someone actually testing positive. So once you have any interaction with the community, it's a potential risk, and unfortunately you have to have staff, and they live in the community. So the potential is always going to be there unless you're a sealed unit where nobody goes in or out.
But even, I know you mean metaphorically a sealed unit, but isn't part of the problem that nursing homes are often very spacious, but they're confined spaces. I presume you can't leave the windows open all the time. They have to be warm, sometimes overly mm-hmm. warm. It's dry air. You know the whole issue, and I know Orla Hegarty of UCD has been pushing this for a long time about ventilation and checking your levels and keeping as many windows open as possible, airing rooms. Is that possible in nursing homes, or have you received guidance on that?
It would be possible in nursing homes to a certain degree, but I think that the issue is that it's a communal living space. And as Martin said, this is a home for residents. They enjoy mm-hmm. their lives here. They enjoy mixing with their friends. And you can't confine people to their rooms. You know, it's a communal. We're social animals. We're going to want to interact with other people. Yeah. And unfortunately, other people are at the risk.
But Joe, can I come in there?
Yes, Thomas,
like,
yes.
Most of these people in nursing homes are agency staff, right?
No.
And they are. Most of them are. I found it very hard. My mother was in a wonderful nursing home, but all the staff were agencies. There was no nurse there from, whether they were from outside the country, foreign national or whatever, from Ireland. And the staff were so overtired and so worked and not properly trained on hygiene. Yeah. We were caught with our pants down. I'm sorry, Joe, for the metaphor, but we were caught with our pants down. The nursing homes couldn't cope with it. You go into a hospital today, they're prepared for it. You go into a nursing home today, they're not fully prepared for it because they didn't get the tools at the beginning. And I'm sorry, it takes 9 months and you still haven't got it right.
Okay. Dr. Martin Data, I know you're going to a clinic now, Martin, so I'm very conscious of that. And you too, Patricia, conscious of your frontline work, both of you. But Martin, the HSE this morning were unable to say, now maybe this was raised by a TD Roisin Shortlaw, which asked them how many residents in nursing homes and staff had been vaccinated already, and they were unable to answer that question. I thought it was 100% at this stage.
Well, I don't know the figures, but I do know that the HSE, and I have to give credit to the HSE because they have pushed the vaccination program, prioritised nursing homes, as Patricia has already said to you. And, you know, there is a logistical issue about bringing the Pfizer vaccine out into a third site, like a nursing home, to ensure that there's no breakdown in the cold chain the way that what happened in Leash. And you can see what happened, 122 vaccines were lost, and probably human error was involved. And that can happen and will happen. But I have to point out, in the first surge, 1,000 cases a day, that was in April. Yeah. The second surge in October, 1,500 at the height. And at this time, 6,500 cases on the 10th of January. All that's happening in nursing homes, it's reflecting what's happening and the prevalence of this virus in the community. And the sad thing is, once this virus gets inside a congregated area like a nursing home with vulnerable people there, it is very difficult to protect those people once the virus gets into that nursing home setting. And again, I don't want to be overly critical of the HSE. There are a large number of staff out sick at the moment, either with COVID or close contacts. And I have to say, I've met some of those staff, and there's a huge psychological toll on nursing, allied health professionals and medical staff and cleaners and porters and everyone else. So this is an enormous challenge, just in Ireland, but also everywhere else.
And you're right, Martin, because even the figures for the nursing home in the month of January, 4,300 positive COVID-19 cases, and 37% are staff, which is incredible. Patricia, Martin, thanks indeed, Martin, unless you want
thanks
to make
so
a
much.
Final point, but I really appreciate your participation. Patricia, thanks, that's Dr. Martin Daly in Ballygar, County Galway. Patricia McGowan, there's on that issue, agency staff are trained, of course they are, aren't they, and qualified.
Well, we never had call for agency staff before this happened. I don't know, to be honest with you, what their level of training is. I can only comment on the nursing home that I work in.
Okay.
And, you know, nursing home staff are trained. They're very highly trained because HICWA, our inspectorate, when they come to do their inspections, that's part of the inspection. They inspect the training levels that staff across all of the different disciplines have. And if you don't have the training that they tell you you need to have, then you have to get it. There's no two ways about it. There's no negotiation. If you haven't got the proper training, you're in breach.
And
so I can only comment on HICWA here.
And HICWA, which is the state inspection body, they apply the same standards to private nursing homes as public nursing homes. Isn't that correct?
I would assume so. Well, I mean, that would be the idea.
And you can look up the reports on any nursing home on the HICWA website. Patricia McGowan, thanks indeed, and best wishes to everyone in Nightingale Nursing Home staff and residents and extended families. Thanks indeed, Patricia, or Thomas. Thanks, Patricia McGowan and Thomas Gray. Thank you once again, and condolences. You're approaching, unfortunately, Thomas, the first anniversary of your mother's passing in a nursing home. So we're thinking of you and all those who have died. Thanks indeed, 5,000 on the island since this time last year. Thanks indeed, Thomas Gray. I will go to Rebecca and paramedics not getting the vaccine. The families of paramedics have contacted us. joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.